Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is the text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Of all of the artistic renderings of the cross of Jesus, one stands out of the crowd for me, not based on the skill of the artistry, but because of the unique perspective that is portrayed in the painting. It is a painting that is stirring. It's by French artist Jacques Tissot, and it's called What Our Lord Saw from the Cross, which is a depiction of what Jesus would have seen as he looked out from the cross. Right at the feet, you see Mary, his mother, and a little farther back and to one side, you see St. John, and then on the other side, you see Mary and Mary looking on. The image is poignant, to say the least, because they are all there with their hands folded, surely praying that God would bring an end to his bleeding and dying. I was looking at that picture the other night with Andrea, and I couldn't imagine the grief that the mother of our Lord must have felt as Simeon's prophecy from some 33 years prior finally came to pass. A sword will pierce through your own soul. What joy and what grief must have mingled as she recalled those words and his newborn face yet unmarred by blood and grief. It is on this scene that Jesus gazes as he sees one more opportunity to console John, the beloved apostle, and keep the fourth commandment by honoring his mother, by giving her over to him and him to her. But this is more than just a tender moment between a mother and her son. Jesus is fulfilling the scriptures in everything that he does. I counted 9 places in our reading from John 18 and 19 where the fulfillment of some event, either something from the Old Testament or something from the Gospels, is specifically mentioned. Jesus said that this would happen, or this was to fulfill what the prophet had said. However, a very careful read of the text would find many more such instances applied or implied, but not specifically mentioned as fulfilling something. As an example of that kind of prophecy and fulfillment would be Jesus' burial in the tomb that we just heard about in the last section of the reading by Joseph of Arimathea. Though not cited, this is definitely a fulfillment of what we heard from Isaiah 53 earlier in this service, which says, "And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death." So what scripture is Jesus fulfilling when he hands his mother over to the care of St. John? In Psalm 68, we find the following passage. "Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home." This beautiful passage, penned by David, Jesus' father and his subject as well, more than 1,000 years before Jesus was born of Mary, already foretells of Jesus' deep affection for his mother. Although Jesus would not be born to a widow, we do know that at some point in the course of the time covered by the Gospels, she does become one. Joseph quietly vanishes from the scene sometime after the incident where he and Mary lose the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. Jesus' protection of his widowed mother is also foreshadowed in the story of the raising of the widow's son at Nain in Luke chapter 7. Listen how the evangelist paints this picture for us. "As he drew near to the gate of the town, Behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." What makes this especially poignant is that Jesus must see his own mother in this poor widow. St. Luke solidifies this connection between Mary and the widow at Nain by adding a detail at the end of the miracle account that Jesus gives the risen son back to his mother. Here at the cross, which is our Lord's holy habitation, Jesus, the protector of widows, is settling his solitary widowed mother in a home. Without Jesus to care for her, she surely would have had no means to survive. Widows in those days almost universally had to rely on their children to care for them once their husbands were gone. And so Jesus wanted to honor his mother and provide for her earthly life, even as his was coming to an end. But here's the thing. This really is something more than just a touching scene between a son and his mother. God is providing a home for all of us. Listen again to the opening collect of this evening's service. We prayed, "Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men, to suffer death upon the cross, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord," etc. In this prayer, we approach God as his family. This thread runs all through the New Testament. In the opening chapters of this gospel, according to St. John, the evangelist writes, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Children of God must be born of God's will. Jesus tells us how that happens just a few chapters later when he says, "Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." It is by baptism that we are born of God. St. Paul in Galatians chapters 3 and 4 makes the case for us that baptism is also what makes us heirs of all of the promises that God has made. Baptism confers a change of status on us. We go from being enemies of God to children and heirs of God when the water and the Spirit are applied to us. St. Paul also tells us that baptism incorporates us into the death and resurrection of Jesus. He says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." In baptism, we are born of God and we die with Christ and we are raised again with him from the dead. But that's not the last time the thread of being children of God comes up in the Gospel of John. In chapter 20, the resurrected Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus here gives us explicit permission to call God and our Father, just as we do in the Lord's Prayer. His Father has now become our Father because of his death and resurrection and our baptism into him. People loved by God, by Jesus' death and resurrection, and by our baptism into him, we are settled into a family. The idea that we might miss some family gathering instead of going to the divine service sometime is, from a biblical perspective, to say the least, a little counterintuitive. We who are here right now are a family in a very real and eternal sense. And yes, I know many of you are blood related, but all of us who are here are related by water and the blood that flows out of the side of Jesus into the chalice and into the font. This family that is here with us, the family that God has created by the water and the word flowing out of the crucified and risen Jesus, is unending and extends beyond death and the grave. Human families are susceptible to all kinds of rises and falls, breakups and disappointments. But this family that is here is held together by something much thicker than blood. It is held together by the blood and water that flowed from the wounds of Christ on the cross and by his enduring promises. So look around then, dear saints. Behold your mothers and fathers, your sons and your daughters, your brothers and your sisters. Behold your God on the cross, who has knit us into one family, the mystical body of the church. And from this hour, from his hour, your Lord Jesus takes you into his eternal home. In Jesus' name. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.